the most imposing object on Earth today, the most talked about thing, the most dreaded, and in turn, the most promising of all earthly and man-made devices is the rocket. To some, it is an instrument of war whose foreboding shadow of fear blankets the earth. It occupies a place in the minds of all thinking men, every race and creed, in every country. Indeed, the rocket is an instrument of war, for circumstance has dictated it to be. It stands sentinel for our way of life, a symbol of strength guarding the peace. It is standing near the cornfields of Iowa, scant steps from the beaches of Florida, in the deserts of Africa, amid the Alps, and in northern snows. It is waiting beneath the sea in giant submarines, and flies eternal on the wings of great bombers. It is not a terrible thing, but a thing of great beauty, a symbol of protection to all men who are free, and a symbol of hope to all who dream of being. It stands like a giant finger to warn all who would seek our destruction, to leave us alone.
It is a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships, striking from a hidden base, have won their first victory against the evil Galactic Empire. During the battle, Rebel spies manage to steal secret plans to the Empire's ultimate weapon, the Death Star, an armored space station with enough power to destroy an entire planet. Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Princess Leia races home aboard her starship. Custodian of the stolen plans that can save her people and restore freedom to the galaxy. But Princess Leia's cruiser is no match for the warship, which swiftly overtakes her vessel. In moments, Imperial stormtroopers invade the Rebel craft with a blaze of laser weapons.
A news flash from Williams Observatory verifies a rumor broadcast earlier today that radio contact has been made with Flash Gordon, Dale Arden, and Dr. Alexis Zarkov aboard their rocket ship returning from the planet Mongo. By means of the observatory's 100-inch telescope, they have sighted the rocket ship several thousand miles distant and moving toward the Earth at the incredible speed of at least 1,200 miles an hour.
It won't be long now, eh, Flash? There's old Mother Earth coming up to meet us.
Where do you think we'll land, Dr. Zarkov?
Can't tell exactly, Dale. But I hope it'll be a large open space.
Anywhere but the ocean.
Dr. Zarkov.
Ladies and gentlemen, since our return from the planet Mongo, Miss Arden, Flash Gordon, and I have repeatedly been asked the question, is there any likelihood of the Earth being visited, or should I say invaded, by people from another planet? As to its likelihood, I cannot say. But as to its possibility, the answer must be yes. Judging from Mongo alone, others as to possess means of travel more efficient in every way than our rocket ship. Perhaps by some means unknown to us, with the very speed of light.
The rocket is all of this, but much more than this. Within its cold steel lies hope and a hushed expectation. A promise, and at last the fulfillment of man's most ancient dream. It is the answer to a dream which has plagued mankind since the beginning of his thinking existence. Man has never been content to gaze at the inaccessible heavens, the moon and other planets, and only wonder at their substance. Always, man has dreamed that someday he might be able to escape the natural barriers which prison him to Earth, that he might satisfy his innate curiosity of those things which he does not understand, that he might touch the moon. The rocket is the answer, the key for which man has been seeking, and the rocket is here.
They shut down the main reactor. We'll be destroyed for sure. This is madness. We're doomed.
There'll be no escape for the princess this time.
C-3PO, a bronze human-like robot, frantically searches the battle-torn ship for R2-D2, his stubby mechanical friend. But at that moment, not far away, a desperate Princess Leia hurriedly programs the little robot with secret information. Secret information that could save the rebel cause. Then she disappears into the smoke-filled corridor as 3PO appears.
At last! Where have you been? They're heading in this direction. What are we going to do? We'll be sent to the spice mines of Kessel or smashed into who knows what.
But R2-D2 is already scooting down the sub-hallway, emitting a series of mechanical beeps and chirps that only 3PO can understand. He is nearing a small metal module, the Rebel Cruiser's escape pod.
Hey, you're not permitted in there. It's restricted. You'll be deactivated for sure. Don't you call me a mindless philosopher, you overweight glob of grease. Now come out before somebody sees you. Secret mission? What plans? What are you talking about? I'm not getting in there. Oh, no. I'm going to regret this.
As the robots escape in the pod, a dark presence enters the ship. The ominous commander of the Imperial forces, Darth Vader, tall and threatening in his black helmet, flowing black cape, and a face forever masked by a foreboding metal breath screen. Darth Vader, a figure who moves forever in a cloud of awesome evil.
The Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted?
Vader grips the rebel's throat.
We intercepted no transmissions! This is a consular ship! We're on a diplomatic mission!
If this is a consular ship, where is the ambassador?
Commander, tear this ship apart until you found those plans and bring me the passengers. I want them alive.
That gray streak is a picture of the light beam I expected to find.
And you think that has something to do with the disasters we're suffering?
In time, that beam will make the Earth a dead world. Haven't you noticed where it's coming from? The planet Mongo.
The planet Mongo?
The kingdom of Ming the Merciless?
Why, it couldn't be Ming. He's dead. We saw him die in the flames.
Someone up there is waging war on the Earth, and I intend to find out who. While there is still time to stop it.
You mean you're going back there?
Oh, what good could you do if you got there? You haven't got a chance in a million.
That's the one chance I've got to take.
But Dr. Zark...
You're not asking me to stand by without doing all one man can to prevent the destruction of the Earth, are you? Of course not, Flash. I'm leaving as soon as the rocket ship can be made ready.
Well, in that case, of course, the two of us will make the trip together.
You mean the three of us?
Come with us. Leave your wheat fields. Leave your back street shops, your fishing boats. Leave your offices in the tall skyscrapers. Leave all that is routine and commonplace and come with us for a while. Come with us to where man has never been, but to where he will go, as certain as the passing of time. Come with us to the moon. The rocket is waiting.
There's one. Set for stun. She'll be all right. Inform Lord Vader we have a prisoner.
Princess Leia is taken before Darth Vader for questioning.
Darth Vader, only you could be so bold.
The Imperial Senate will not sit still for this. When they hear you've attacked a diplomat...
Don't act so surprised, Your Highness. You weren't on any mercy mission this time. Several transmissions were beamed to the ship by rebel spies. I want to know what happened to the plans they sent you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan.
You are part of a rebel alliance and a traitor. Take her away!
Lord Vader, the battle station plans are not aboard this ship, and no transmissions were made. An escape pod was jettisoned during the fighting, but no life forms were aboard.
She must have hidden the plans in the escape pod. Send a detachment down to retrieve them. See to it personally, Commander. There will be no one to stop us this time.
Yes, sir.
The robot's escape pod lands in the middle of a vast desert on the remote planet of Tatooine. They escape the Imperial forces, but soon face stranger foes. Jawas.
Was the next stop.
I feel like a regular commuter.
Let me out of here, will you? This ain't on a level.
Oh, so it's you again, is it? Come here.
Yeah, Happy Hapgood from the dispatch. Look out for my camera, will you? Look out.
Listen, you give me more trouble.
Listen, big boy, I'm leaving.
Yeah? I'll have a look.
Hey, where are we?
You're on your way to the planet Mongo.
Mongo?
People who are a part of it and whose lives it is so closely intertwined, it is simply called the Cape. It's 1 o'clock in the morning now, and the highways to the Cape are empty at this hour. We'll enter through the south gate and drive along the narrow strip that connects the Cape to the mainland. There's a fine wide highway here, approaching the Cape in a long sweeping bend. To the right and enclosed within this great bend is a harbor, Port Canaveral, where radar ships and tracking vessels that monitor the rockets as they are fired over the South Atlantic are harbored, along with Coast Guard vessels and submarines and a fleet of fishing boats. As we drive closer, the towers of the Cape become more prominent. The towers stand in bunches like so many small compact cities, for they are brightly lit and are visible for miles. Searchlights are seen in the distance and red warning lights on the tops of hangars and towers and water tanks. Suddenly, a large red light is flashing in front of us, and a small building is there between the lanes and guards. We are now at the main gate, where we must stop for a security check to look at our identification badges and at our faces, and we drive in.
Small, yellow-eyed creatures wearing heavy cloaks with hoods scurry like rodents behind the rocks. The greedy little scavengers capture the hapless droids and place them aboard a gargantuan transport vehicle.
We're doomed. Do you think they'll melt us down?
Meanwhile, Imperial troops discover the abandoned escape pod and begin a relentless hunt for the droids.
Someone was in the pod. The tracks go off in this direction.
As the troops are searching for the droids, the Jawa scrap dealers stop near the small farm homestead of Owen Lars. The burly farmer and his young nephew, Luke Skywalker, inspect the robots for sale, especially R2-D2 and 3PO.
What I really need is a droid who understands the binary language of moisture evaporators.
Evaporators? Sir, my first job was programming binary load lifters, very similar to your evaporators in most respects.
Can you speak Bocce?
Of course I can, sir. It's like a second language to me. I'm a
all right, shut up. I'll take this.
Shut up, sir.
Uncle Owen?
Yeah?
What about that one?
What about that blue one? We'll take that one.
I'm quite sure you'll be very pleased with that one, sir. He really is in first-class condition. I've worked with him before. Here he comes.
Magnificent. This man is one of my workmen in the laboratory. We discovered him about to blow up the Nitron magazine.
Is that true?
Yes, Your Magnificence.
You
you know that the nitron is needed for our war against the clay people?
Yes, Your Magnificence. That's why I tried to blow it up, to save you the folly of such a war.
Folly. I will be the judge of that. And when I start my war against the clay people, for what you have done, you will be among them. I shall banish you to the clay caves. Thus do I punish all traitors. Now go.
Azura, great queen of magic.
Why hasn't the beam been turned off? We have extracted enough nitron by this time.
Yes, Your Magnificence. But the Great Ming gave orders to keep the beam burning.
How long do you propose to keep the beam burning?
Until I have taken all the nitron from the Earth's atmosphere.
And kill everything on it?
And why not? An Earthman named Zarkov and his friend Flash Gordon once dared to pit themselves against me. Now let us see them save the Earth if they can.
Luke returns after his midday meal to discover that the little robot has gone off in search of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
How could I be so stupid? He's nowhere in sight.
Pardon me, sir, but couldn't we go after him?
Luke and Rukio race above the desert sand and the battered lands today. Soon, they overtake the waddling droid.
Hey, whoa, just where do you think you're going?
But before they can get R2-D2 aboard the land speeder...
What's wrong with them now?
There are several creatures approaching from the southeast. Sand people.
Worse. Come on, let's go have a look. Come on. Well, there are two Banthas down there, but I don't see any... Wait a second. They're sand people, all right. I can see one of them now.
The fierce, marginally human creature presses a surprise attack, and in the face of sudden danger, Luke is knocked to the ground.
Do you see that beam of light?
Yes, very clearly.
Then I made a terrible mistake. From my observations on Earth, I thought it was coming from Mongo. It's not. It's coming from Mars. We're going to crash.
All clear so far.
Look her over, will you, Doc?
What an awful looking desert.
Well, now that we're here, what are we going to do?
Get back to that light and put it out of commission somehow. What do you think, Doctor?
No use, Flash. The ship can't take off. She'll never move again.
But you mean we gotta stay here? We can't get back to Earth?
It's a long walk.
And I promised my wife I'd be home for dinner. Listen.
An airship!
Oh, boy, what a break! Hey, Kaya, what are you...
Be a fool. More likely to be enemies than friends.
Flash is right. Let's get back at those rocks. Quick!
R2-D2 dutifully stands guard over Luke's inert body as the sand people ransack the speeder. But they are startled by the presence of a hooded and cloaked figure approaching over the dunes, and they flee. Luke opens his eyes as the old man bends over him.
Tell me, young Luke, what brings you out this far?
This little droid. He claims to be the property of an Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think my uncle knows him. He said he was dead.
Oh, he's not dead. Not yet.
Well, you know him.
Well, of course I know him. He's me.
Ben hurries the group into the safety of his small desert house.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
I wish I'd known him.
He was the best star pilot in the galaxy. And a cunning warrior. I understand you've become quite a good pilot yourself. And he was a good friend. Which reminds me, I have something here for you. Your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough, but your uncle wouldn't allow it. He feared you might follow old Obi-Wan on some damn fool idealistic crusade like your father did.
Sir, if you'll not be needing me, I'll close down for a while.
Sure, go ahead. What is it?
Father's lightsaber. This is the weapon of a Jedi Knight. Not as clumsy or random as a blaster. An elegant weapon for a more civilized age. For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic. Before the Dark Times. Before the Empire.
How did my father die?
A young Jedi named Darth Vader, who was a pupil of mine until he turned to evil, helped the Empire hunt down and destroy the Jedi Knights. He betrayed and murdered your father. Now the Jedi are all but extinct. Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force.
The Force?
And the Force is what gives the Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together. Now, let's see if we can't figure out what you are, my little friend. And where you come from.
I saw part of the message you...
I seem to have found it.
General Kenobi, years ago you served my father in the Clone Wars. Now he begs you to help him in his struggle against the Empire. I regret that I'm unable to present my father's request to you in person, but my ship has fallen under attack, and I'm afraid my mission to bring you to Alderaan has failed. I have placed information vital to the survival of the Rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit. My father should know how to retrieve it. If he cannot, however, you must give to him these passwords. Mystery Playhouse is sponsored by...
Said quote, Mystery Playhouse is sponsored by Comics and Comics Toys and Games at 405 California Avenue, unquote. We now return you to the music of Raymond Raquello, playing for you...
Those creatures know what that means, what anything means. Wait a minute, something's happening.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast.
Now here's another bulletin from Washington, D.C.
Martial law prevails throughout... Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make.
So that we may confront this destructive adversary.
Everything wiped out. This may be the last broadcast. We'll stay here to the end.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass.
Or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want, because this is...
Mystery Playhouse. 90.1.
We'll be right back.
Cape Canaveral, a place where only a few select people, other than those who work here, are ever permitted to see. The towers, which seemed so miniature only moments ago, grow taller as we approach them. After traveling a mile or so, one realizes that the towers and various launching sites are laid out in one great semicircle along the eastern shoreline. We leave the main highway and go northeast along the outer drive near the beaches. Soon we are passing electrical transformers and the strange latticed steel structures of the radar and tracking installations. Then comes the launching areas for the rockets, with their round blockhouses, which look like turtles squatted down among the cabbage farms. Beyond each blockhouse is a rocket tower. All of these are off the main road in a little isolated areas to themselves and stand shining in the floodlights and full of activity. We drive on past the old lighthouse, which has worn ships away from the coral reefs for nearly a century and is still in use. The farther north we go, the larger and more impressive the towers and blockhouses become. Suddenly, to the north and still several miles away, we see a great tower. It is so large that it dwarfs all the rest and seems to dominate the entire Cape. This is our tower, for enclosed within its steel framework stands the giant rocket that will soon be taking us away to the moon.
Flash Gordon and Zarkov are on Mars.
Flash Gordon? How do you know?
That's the part of the ship they stole when they escaped from Mongo. They have come to Mars to stop us from taking the nitrogen from the Earth's atmosphere.
Then they mean to destroy the beam.
Exactly. They know that if they do not, eventually the beam will destroy the Earth and everyone on it.
Then we must get rid of them at once. We need all the nitrogen we can get for our war against the Clay People.
Ben urges young Luke to join him in rescuing the princess, but Luke hesitates, for Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru need him at home.
Look, I can take you as far as Anchorhead. You can get a transport there to Mos Eisley or wherever you're going.
You must do what you feel is right, of course.
While taking Ben to the spaceport, Luke's land speeder comes upon a gruesome scene. The Jawa sand crawler is devastated, and the bodies of slain Jawas litter the hot sand. Ben realizes it is the work of Imperial stormtroopers who are searching for the missing robots.
If they trace the robots here, they may have learned who they sold them to, and that would lead them back home.
Oh, wait, Luke! It's too dangerous!
But Luke is already in the land speeder and zooming toward home. There, he makes a shattering discovery. The homestead is now a smoking ruin, and worse, he finds the smoldering bodies of Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. He returns to Ben with the shocking news.
There's nothing you could have done, Luke, had you been there. You'd have been killed, too. And the droids would now be in the hands of the Empire.
I want to come with you to Alderaan. There's nothing for me here now. I want to learn the ways of the Force and become a Jedi like my father.
Ming and his men are right behind us.
Ming? Are you sure?
I thought he was dead.
You'll think differently if he catches us. Get in, quick!
Flash, did you really see Ming? He's alive?
Yes. You're trying to make it plenty tough on us.
Now I'm beginning to understand what's been happening on the Earth. Only a genius as cruel as Ming could have designed that beam.
I thought this bird Ming was a big shot over on Mongo. What's he doing here on Mars?
Perhaps he's conquered Mars.
No one can conquer Mars. Ming is only an ally of our great queen, Azura.
Now, never mind about that. Where do you keep your explosives?
I don't know. I'm only the pilot.
Better have a look ourselves, Zarkov. We'll need it when we get to the beam. Hap, keep an eye on our boyfriend.
Mos Eisley Spaceport. You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Luke follows Ben into a murky, smoke-filled den serving an incredible array of weird and exotic aliens, monsters and disreputable humans,
one-eyed, thousand-eyed, slimy, furry, scaly tentacles and claws are huddled over drinks. Ben moves through the dingy room in search of a likely star pilot, while Luke edges up to the long metallic bar. A strange, multi-eyed creature and his surly human sidekick approach Luke.
He doesn't like you.
Sorry.
I don't like you either. You just watch yourself. We're wanted men. I have the death sentence on 12 systems.
I'll be careful.
You'll be dead.
This little one's not worth the effort. Come, let me get you something.
With one skillful stroke of his lightsaber, Ben slashes the deadly creature, then moves on to the business at hand.
None but authorized vehicles are permitted to enter the launching area. So we leave our car on the parking ramp and walk to the complex gate. Lights are shining directly in our faces so that the guards will be able to identify us beyond any question. This time we are checked more closely by the guards. After a moment's delay, they wave us through and we find ourselves inside the high steel fence that encloses the entire complex area. Cars and trucks constantly stop at the gate to be checked, then speed off into the night on their official errands. Immediately, we are confronted with the gray, solemn outline of the blockhouse a few hundred feet away. The rocket tower, red and shining in the floodlights, looms high in the background. The blockhouse is the control center of the complex operation, the nerve nucleus, with its thousands of instruments that monitor the pulse of the rocket as it stands in the tower for checkout prior to launch. Shaped like a great half-sphere, the blockhouse is built to withstand the forces of an atomic blast.
Now you understand why I was so anxious to get rid of the Earthmen. My experience with them on Mongol taught me just how dangerous they could be.
Well, I can promise you their life on Mars will be much shorter than it was on Mongol. Why, my death squadron will...
Your Magnificence, a message from your flight commander, for you personally.
Just sighted the Earthmen. Their ship is badly crippled, flying over the land of the Clay people. I ask your Majesty's permission to return.
To return is the art of his mind.
You don't know the Clay people, Ming. To cross their borders is certain death.
But I do know Flash Gordon, and I know that he's a greater menace to our plans than all the Clay people. We can take no chances.
You're right. Follow the Earthmen, Captain. See that none of them...
But your Magnificence... It means that none of us will ever come back.
I said follow them.
They're landing. You and Dale get back in there out of range. We'll try to hold them off.
We haven't got much ammunition left.
I know it, Doc. We still got this.
They've spotted us.
Yes, I think I can block her with this.
You're right, Flash. Hurry before they get through. That did it.
I don't know. She saw something frightening.
Dale, what was it? What did you see?
I don't know. Something unreal.
Unreal? Well, what do you mean?
The clay in that wall. It seemed to come to life. It turned into a man and it ran back into the shadows.
Oh, don't be silly.
What a flash!
Come on, Flash, let's get out of here.
Chewbacca here, this first mate on a ship that might suit us.
Ben introduces Luke to an 8-foot-tall, 200-year-old Wookiee who communicates in a series of grunts and growls. The Wookiee leads them to his captain, a 30-year-old starship smuggler, Han Solo.
Han Solo, I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Yes, indeed. If it's a fast ship.
Fast ship? You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. I've outrun Imperial starships. Not the local bulk cruisers, mind you. I'm talking about the big Carillion ships now. She's fast enough for you, old man.
We can pay you 2,000 now, plus 15 when we reach Alderaan.
17, huh? Okay, you guys got yourselves a ship. We'll leave as soon as you're ready. Docking Bay 94.
94.
What's the meaning of all this?
At first we mistook you for some of Azura's people.
Azura's people? Why, they were sent out to kill us. We came to hide in your cave.
Yes, we saw you fighting them.
Flash!
It's all right, dear.
But why are you enemies of Queen Azura? Who are you?
We're from another planet, the Earth.
Why did you come to Mars?
To stop the destruction of our own planet by Queen Azura and her ally, Emperor Ming.
Destroy the Earth? But how could they do that?
By means of a powerful beam of light with which they are drawing the Earth's atmosphere across the universe to Mars. As you know, Queen Azura and Ming will stop at nothing to prevent our destroying that beam.
I regret my people cannot help you. For we too are victims of Azura's wrath, a mere shadow of a once mighty race.
But gee whiz, King, if you can't help us yourself, can't you steer us to somebody that will? Say, you're looking at a couple of guys that sure need a friend.
In your place, I should try the forest people. They're a strange race, but honest and powerful. I can direct you to them.
Tarkin and Vader have decided that a demonstration of the full destructive power of the Death Star may persuade the princess to cooperate. Meanwhile, Ben's group has reassembled at a Mos Eisley docking bay to board the Millennium Falcon.
What a piece of junk.
She'll make 0.5 past light speed. She may not look like much, but she's got it where it counts, kid. I've made a lot of special modifications myself. But we're a little rushed, so if you'll just get on board, we'll get out of here.
But the Imperial stormtroopers have tracked the robots to the spaceport.
Stop that ship! Blast them!
Han Solo and Chewie exchange blasting laser fire with the troops as the others board the Falcon.
Chewie, get us out of here!
Oh my, I'd forgotten how much I hate space travel.
Like an Imperial cruiser, our passengers must be hotter than I thought. Try and hold them off. Angle a deflector shield while I make the calculations for the jump to light speed. Stay sharp. There's two more coming in. They're going to try and cut us off.
Why didn't you outrun them? I thought you said this thing was fast.
Watch your mouth, kid. Or you're going to find yourself floating home.
We'll be safe enough once we make the jump to hyperspace. Besides, I know a few maneuvers. We'll lose them. Here's where the fun begins.
How long before you can make the jump to light speed?
Take a few moments to get the coordinates from the navicomputer.
Are you kidding? The rate they're gaining?
Traveling through hyperspace ain't like dusting crops, boy. Without precise calculations, we'd fly right through a star or bounce too close to a supernova and that'd end your trip real quick, wouldn't it?
What's that flashing?
We're losing a deflector shield. Don't trap yourselves in. I'm going to make the jump to light speed.
The Earth people have left the cave and must be coming this way. I wish to see them. They're entering the forest kingdom.
Isn't that the home of the Fire People?
Yes. They are the most savage nation on Mars. No one has ever entered there and lived.
But Flash Gordon is no ordinary man. How can you make sure the Earthmen will not escape?
I will show you.
There's a light over there.
It looks like a fire.
Well, whatever it is, it shows there are people living here.
Maybe it's a barbecue. Boy, what I could do with a steak right now.
It's a shrine. Funny there's nobody around.
What if the Fire People accept them as friends?
I will see that they don't.
Let's see if we can find the people who built this.
Just a minute. That'll look great in the Sunday magazine section.
That idol is their god, Kalu.
Watch.
Wait a minute, John Button.
He's never did that.
What in the world happened?
I don't know, but we better get out of here quick. They might think that I did it.
The Millennium Falcon has leaped to light speed and safety. But the object of its mission, Princess Leia, is in grave danger aboard the Death Star. Tarkin attempts to force the information from her with a terrible threat.
Princess Leia, before your execution, I would like you to be my guest at a ceremony that will make this battle station operational. Since you are reluctant to provide us with the location of the rebel base, I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
No, Alderaan is peaceful. We have no weapons. You can't possibly...
You will prefer another target, a military target? Then name the system. I grow tired of asking this, so it'll be the last time. Where is the rebel base?
Dantooine. They're on Dantooine.
There. You see, Lord Vader, she can be reasonable. Continue with the operation. You may fire when ready.
What?
You're far too trust. Dantooine is too remote to make an effective demonstration, but don't worry. We will deal with your rebel friends soon enough.
No.
Commence primary ignition.
The awesome power of the battle station's lasers instantly reduces the planet of Alderaan to pulverized space dust.
A red warning light is glowing above the great steel doors which block the far end of the passageway. The doors are 7 feet high and 8 feet wide and weigh 10 tons. A smaller hatch-like door is built into one of them, like entering a mammoth vault. We open the smaller door and go in.
Yes?
Our scout ships have reached Dantooine. They found the remains of a rebel base, but they estimate that it has been deserted for some time.
She lied. She lied to us.
I told you she would never consciously betray the rebellion.
Terminate her immediately.
Meanwhile, the Millennium Falcon comes out of hyperspace near the coordinates where Alderaan once existed. But Solo and the others are in for a shock.
Stand by, Chewie. Here we go. Cutting the sublight engines.
What the? We come out of hyperspace into a meteor shower. Some kind of asteroid collision. Not on any of the charts.
What's going on?
Our position's correct, except no Alderaan.
What do you mean? Where is it?
That's what I'm trying to tell you, kid. It ain't there. It's been totally blown away.
What? How?
Destroyed by the Empire.
The entire Starfleet couldn't destroy the whole planet. It'd take 1,000 ships with more firepower than I've...
There's another ship coming in.
Look at him. He's heading for that small moon.
I think I can get him before he gets there. He's almost in range.
That's no moon. It's a space station.
Why are we
are we still moving towards it?
We're caught in a tractor beam that's pulling us in.
There's got to be something you can do.
There's nothing I can do about it, kid. I'm full power. I'm going to have to shut down. They're not going to get me without a fight.
You can't win, but there are alternatives to fighting.
As the helpless pirate ship is pulled steadily toward the evil metal moon, Solo and his passengers hide in cleverly concealed smuggling compartments. The immense size of the battle station is staggering, and the mile-high docking port doors yawn slowly open.
Clear Bay 327. We're opening the magnetic field.
We have captured the strangers who destroyed the image of our god, Kalu.
Let them be brought before me. Who are you?
We're Earthmen.
Earthmen? Then why have you come here to attack my people and destroy the sacred image?
That's not true, Your Majesty. Your people were the first to attack, and I know nothing of how the image was destroyed.
A lie, mighty Taran. That one did it with this magic box.
Come here. How does this machine work?
Well, it's a long story, Your Honor. I mean, King. You see, all you have to do is just press the little...
He might have destroyed you as he did the image.
Oh, don't be silly. I'm only trying to take his picture.
Picture? What do you mean?
Well, you know how tall you are. If I take a picture of this camera, you look about that high in here. All right, now hold it, King.
Mighty Taran, if the Earth Man had pressed that lever, you would become like the dwarf people and become imprisoned in that magic box.
Nothing like it. Now hold it, King.
Silence. To the death cell with these Earth people.
Atlantic Missile Range, Cape Canaveral.
At first, everything is confusing, for there is a maze of activity here. The engineers and technicians all seem to be in motion at the same time. This, along with all the noise, is bewildering. The hazy spiral soon stops, however, and the room in which we are standing begins to take shape. It's a massive hexagon, 75 feet wide. This main room of the blockhouse is literally filled with electronic instrument panels and cabinets, laid out in neat circle and half-circle rows that begin at the walls and extend to the center of the room. These instruments are the eyes, ears, and hands of the men who will fire the rocket. Through them, they are able to hear the rocket's heartbeat, so to speak. They tell the test conductor within seconds if a malfunction has occurred. They have contact with every component, every tank and pressure, every battery and electric current, every temperature and every sound in the great rocket's complex structure. They tell all that is right and all that may go wrong. On the test conductor's console are many lights. The green ones indicate a system that is checked out and ready for flight. The red ones show systems which are not ready. At the moment, most of the lights are glowing green, for our rocket will soon be ready to fly. The test conductor is the key man here, the master engineer and the one in command. Within his hands lies the decision as to whether or not we will fly this day.
There's the launching pad over there, and there's the 68-foot Jupiter C rocket with the Explorer 1 satellite on top, ready to go. We're in the control center, Adventurer. Listen to the hum of activity. Do you see that tall, distinguished gentleman over there? That's Dr. Werner von Braun, and he's coming over to greet you.
Hello, Adventurer. I am Dr. von Braun.
Say hello to Dr. von Braun.
I need you to command the control center. We are almost ready for the countdown, so I'll have to give you a very fast briefing.
Time X minus 50. Liquid fueling completed on first stage redstone. Solid fuel rocket clusters secured.
are good. The fueling procedure's completed. We must hurry.
Follow Dr. Von Braun, adventurer.
Now, adventurer, here's the situation. There are four stages to this Jupiter C rocket. The first stage will launch the rocket and carry it to a height of 50 miles.
Adventurer, ask Dr. Von Braun, how fast does the first stage go?
Adventurer, at this point, the speed is about 5,000 miles per hour, and the empty first stage would be detached by radio and fall away. The remaining three stages will continue to coast like a stone thrown over a distance to a height of 250 miles.
Ask Dr. Von Braun, when do I fire the next stage?
When attainment of the highest point is confirmed by tracking stations, the second, third, and fourth stages will be fired in rapid succession by radio to hurl the rocket's last stage into orbit. In order to achieve an orbit, the second, third, and fourth stages must fire in exactly horizontal direction.
Ask Dr. Von Braun, how do we keep them flying straight?
In order to have them fly in a straight course, we spin up the three top stages prior to takeoff.
That's like spinning a rifle bullet, adventurer. It keeps them on course. Ask Dr. Von Braun, how fast does the last stage go?
Adventurer, at burnout, the last stage will have reached an orbital velocity of 18,000 miles per hour. With this speed, the rocket will fly horizontally, well above the atmosphere, so air drag won't slow it down. But the pull of Earth gravity will bend the flight path down. However, the speed of 18,000 miles per hour is so high that the Earth curves away underneath just as fast as the satellite tries to fall. As a result, the satellite keeps falling and falling all the way around the Earth until it arrives at the same point where it started. This unpowered flight path around the Earth is what we call an orbit.
That is exciting, adventurer. Do you understand everything so far?
We've captured a freighter entering the remains of the Alderaan system. Its markings match those of a ship that blasted its way out of Mos Eisley.
They must be trying to return the stolen plans to the princess. She may yet be of some use to us.
Unlock 157 and 9, release chock. 316, report to control.
There's no one on board, sir. According to the log, the crew abandoned ship right after takeoff.
Send a scanning crew aboard. I want every part of this ship checked.
Yes, sir.
I sense something. A presence I've not felt since...
Solo and his passengers cautiously emerge from the Millennium Falcon. They quickly overcome two troopers standing guard and steal their uniforms. Luke and Han Solo enter the corridor dressed as Imperial stormtroopers. The robots lead them to one of the battle station systems control terminals.
We found the computer outlet, sir.
Plug in. He should be able to interpret the entire Imperial network.
He says he's found the main controls to the power beam that's holding the ship here. A power loss at one of the terminals will allow the ship to leave.
I don't think you boys can help. I must go alone. Your destiny lies along a different path from mine.
Baron! Flash Gordon, I knew it had to be you.
I don't understand you.
I heard the guards say they'd captured some Earth people.
Dale! Zarkov! Look! Baron!
Oh, Baron! Baron!
Baron! We left you on Mongo. Are you king of the forest people here too?
No. I came to enlist their aid, but they turned on me. I too am a prisoner.
How'd you get through that rock wall?
With this vial of Amphitron. It'll lead us way through armor plate.
Well, big boy, I hope it can eat us out of here.
Oh, Baron, this is Happy Hapgood, another Earthman. Happy, this is Prince Baron from the planet of Mongo, one of Ming's bitterest enemies.
Well, any enemy of Ming's is a friend of mine.
Of course, you know that Ming is here on Mars.
Yes, that's what brought me here. To keep him from destroying your Earth.
It's just like you to risk your life for us, but what are you doing here? Yes, but Ming is now in Azura's palace.
I know. I came to the forest people because they're the only nation who's magic.
How can they be immune?
R2 discovers a staggering piece of information. Princess Leia is being held in the Death Star's detention block. And 3PO's interpretation ends on a chilling note.
I'm afraid she's scheduled to be terminated.
Oh, no.
Better her than me.
She's rich.
Rich?
Rich, powerful. Listen, if you were to rescue her, the reward would be...
What?
Well, more wealth than you can imagine.
I don't know. I can imagine quite a bit.
You'll get it. I better.
Still in troopers' uniforms, Luke and Han move to the detention center, with Chewbacca posing as a prisoner. Once inside, they overpower the guard and begin their search for the princess.
We gotta find out which cell this princess of yours is in. Here it is. 2187. You go and get her. I'll hold him here.
The guard's communicator beeps, and Han must answer the call.
Everything's under control. Situation normal.
Who is this? What's your operating number?
Han answers the question.
Welcome, Earth people. One of our friends has been wounded. Please take us to your king at once.
Sire, the Earth people.
What happened? He's been wounded by the forest people.
Oh, too bad. We must get him to the healing vapors at once. Follow me. Place him in here.
I'll take him, Baron.
These vapors will quickly bring him to. But why were you fighting with the forest people?
We were trying to get the magic black sapphire from the Temple of Kalo. They attack us.
The black sapphire? You have it? The black sapphire of Kalo. The only talisman on Mars that renders Azura's magic powerless.
Yes. With it, we can reach Ming.
Governor Tarkin, we have an emergency alert in detention block AA-23.
The princess? Put all sections on alert.
Obi-Wan is here. The Force is with him.
If you're right, he must not be allowed to escape.
Escape is not his plan. I must face him alone.
In another part of the battle station, Solo, Luke, and Princess Leia find themselves trapped.
Can't get out that way.
Looks like you managed to cut up our only escape route.
Maybe you'd like it back in your cell, Your Highness. I can't hold off forever. Now what?
This is our rescue. When you came in here, didn't you have a plan for getting out?
He's the brain, sweetheart.
Well, I didn't.
What the hell are you doing?
Somebody has to save our skins.
The princess blasts a hole in the metal pocket.
Into the barbecue, flyboy.
I will personally command the search for Flash Gordon.
That would be unnecessary, Your Magnificence. I wouldn't do that if I were you. Baron. Take these men and lock them in that anteroom there. I'm sorry, Your Magnificence, but you'll have to accompany Prince Baron.
No Earthman can command Azura, Queen of Magic.
You have no magic power over me.
I'll banish you to the clay caves.
You're the one to be banished until I finish my work at the Nitron Lamp.
For that, you shall become one of the clay people.
I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Only a master of evil, Darth.
The galactic warriors ignite their laser swords and begin combat. But Ben seems to be under increasing pressure and strain, as if an invisible weight were pressing upon him.
Your powers are weak, old man.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
With that, he lunges at the Dark Knight, who checks the blow with a lightning move, and the duel continues with swords flashing.
You should not come back.
The powerful adversaries seem even enmeshed, each one deflecting the furious death blows of the other. At that moment, Han and Chewie burst through the tunnel within sight of the Millennium Falcon.
Can we just leave this party?
What kept you?
We are running some old friends.
Is the ship all right?
Seems okay if we can get to it. Just hope the old man got the tractor beam out of commission.
But Luke spots another problem as stormtroopers appear across the hangar.
Mark!
The Earth Man, Your Highness.
What have you done with the Black Sapphire?
Why don't you ask Ming, Your Magnificence? His soldiers took it away from me.
That is a lie.
I would speak with Flash Gordon alone. What fateful mission sent you hurtling through space to our planet Mars?
Ming, in his mad desire to conquer the universe, would have destroyed our planet with a nitron lamp.
And if you succeed in destroying the Imperial Ming's nitron lamp, what would you do then?
Return home in peace.
I wonder what Ming would say to that.
Earthman, you have defied the Imperial Ming, and for that you shall die. Tarnak, call the guard.
Wait, Tarnak. Flash Gordon will not die. I have other plans for him.
Other plans, Your Magnificence? Our plan was to conquer the universe. And so long as that Earthman lives, that plan is in danger. Tarnak, call the guard.
Stop, Tarnak. I command the guards here. Since you take that attitude, be warned. I will protect Flash Gordon with all the magic at my command.
Magic? Why, you have no magic. So long as I possess this.
The Black Sapphire.
Call upon your magic, Azura. Call upon all the powers that you once had at your disposal. The Black Sapphire makes you just an ordinary Martian.
Dr. Von Braun, you are needed in the observation center.
Good. We are almost ready. I'll quickly show you the control panels. The buttons on these panels will ready the entire Force-D rocket and fire it on your command. I'm going to leave you in charge now to command the control center. Good luck, adventurer.
There he goes into the observation center. He'll speak to you again in a minute.
Now's the chance, go.
Ben?
As they race to the ship, Luke catches sight of Ben and freezes just as Vader's sword strikes the old master. But the Dark Knight has no victim. Ben has disappeared. Only his empty cloak remains. But Luke continues to fire at Vader's troops as the others board the ship.
Run, Luke, run!
Luke heeds the voice of the Jedi Master and runs aboard.
I hope that old man got that tractor beam out of commission, or this is going to be a real short trip. Okay, hit!
The Falcon accelerates into space, but now Luke and Leia must fight off attacking Imperial fighters.
Here they come!
Don't worry. She'll hold together.
Hear me, baby? Hold together.
But even as they make their escape, Solo and the others do not realize they are only pawns in a much larger game. A game being controlled by Tarkin and Vader.
Are they away?
They've just made the jump into hyperspace.
You're sure the homing beacon is secure aboard their ship? Taking an awful risk, Vader. This had better work.
Unaware that the Millennium Falcon is leading the battle station to the rebel base, Solo is delighted with his handiwork.
Not a bad bit of rescuing, huh? You know, sometimes I amaze even myself.
That doesn't sound too hard. They let us go. It's the only explanation for the ease of our escape.
Easy? You call that easy?
They're tracking us.
Not this ship, sister.
At least the information in R2 is still intact.
What's so important? What's he carrying?
The technical readouts of that battle station. I only hope that when the data's analyzed, a weakness can be found. It's not over yet.
The starship begins orbit of the fourth moon of Yavin, home of the secret rebel base. On landing, the group is met in an armored speeder, which takes them to the spaceport erected inside the ancient remains of a massive temple. An eerie mist shrouds the forest of gigantic trees. The rebel commander rushes to greet them.
You're safe. When we heard about Alderaan, we feared the worst.
We have no time for SARS, Commander. You must use the information in this R2 unit to help plan the attack. It's our only hope.
Rebel technicians pore over the information stored in the little robot. And indeed, they do find what could be a serious flaw in the Death Star's design.
Lock him in that anteroom, Zarko. I'm sorry to have to rough you up, Ming, but I needed that black sapphire. And now, Your Magnificence, you'll have to accompany us. You're going to lift your curse from the clay people.
What's that, Flash?
Good. We'll leave by way of the light bridge. All right, go ahead. Aerodrome platform, instruct the officer in charge to turn over a stratosled to us.
My personal stratosled at once.
Yes, Your Magnificence. Right this way.
But what about Ming? He's certain to spread the alarm.
There's not much that Ming can do now.
Stand by alert. Death Star approaching.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Lock S-Boils in attack position.
Passing through the magnetic field.
Hold tight.
Switch your deflectors on double front.
Look at the size of that thing.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Accelerate to attack speed.
In the Death Star's command post, Lord Vader's aide calls attention to an annoying problem.
We count 30 rebel ships, Lord Vader, but they're so small they're evading our turbo lasers.
We'll have to destroy them ship to ship. Get the crews to their fighters.
Will be in firing range in 7 minutes.
This is Dr. Von Braun, speaking to you on the intercommunication system from the observation center. You can see me through the slant glass window at the end of the room.
Do you see him, Adventurer?
Adventurer, I will remain here in the observation center to supervise all phases on closed circuit television. I will instruct you from here.
Pay close attention to Dr. Von Braun.
All personnel on station, please. From this point on, you will all take your orders from Adventurer in the control center.
Time X minus 40.
Adventurer, execute phase number one of the countdown check.
That's you, Adventurer. Give the order, phase one.
Start.
I copy, Gold Leader. Move into position.
Switch to targeting computer.
Computer's locked. Getting a signal. The guns, they've stopped.
Analyze their attack, sir, and there is a danger. Should I have your ship standing by?
Evacuate? In our moment of triumph? I think you overestimate their chances.
Rebel base, 3 minutes and closing.
Red boys, this is Red Leader. Rendezvous at Mark 6.1. Luke, take Red 2 and 3. Hold up here and wait for my signal to start your run.
This is it.
We should be able to see it by now.
Keep your eyes open for those fighters.
There's too much interference.
Red 5, can you see them from where you are?
No sign of any.
Wait, coming in point 3-5.
I see them.
I'm in range. Target's coming up. Almost there. It's away!
It's a hit!
Negative. Negative. It didn't go in.
Just impacting on the surface.
Are the Earthmen still on the platform?
No, Your Highness. They took off with Queen Azura and her private Stratus sled.
Order out every Stratus sled immediately. Tell the pilots to bring Her Majesty's sled down at all costs.
But the Queen, Your Highness...
Full throttle. That'll keep those fighters off our back.
Right with you, boss.
Luke, at that speed, will you be able to pull out in time?
Be just like Beggar's Canyon back home.
We'll stay back far enough to cover you.
Fighters coming in, point 3.
Hurry, Luke, they're coming in much faster this time. We can't hold them.
R2, try and increase the power.
Rebel base, 30 seconds and closing.
I'm on the leader.
Hang on, R2.
Force, Luke. Let go, Luke.
The Force is strong in this one.
Luke, trust me.
His computer's off.
Luke, you switched off your targeting computer. What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm all right.
Luke presses on, realizing his is a race to the death. He must destroy this metallic monster of malevolent evil before it can use its overwhelming firepower to annihilate the rebel base. He has but seconds.
I've lost R2!
The Death Star has cleared the planet. The Death Star has cleared the planet. Rebel base in range.
You may fire when ready.
Commence primary ignition.
Say, firing command.
Luke's starship speeds through the metallic trench. The young pilot is unaware of the danger above. Darth Vader lines up on his target.
I have you now.
His wingman's TIE fighter disintegrates.
What?
A clumsy pilot ship careens down and fires once again.
Look out!
Lord Vader's fighter goes out of control and spins helplessly toward deep space. Luke then hears the familiar voice of Han Solo.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
Luke remembers the lessons of Ben Kenobi. He pushes aside the target visor and closes his eyes, as if in touch with something unseen. He touches a control, and his last torpedo flies free. The menacing Death Star has exploded in a blinding light more powerful than 100 suns.
Great shot, kid! That was one in a million!
Rebel base.
Remember, the Force will be with you. Always.
Listen to strange signal. Take a listen.
Adventurer, that's the coded radio signal from the satellite.
Gentlemen, Explorer 1 is in orbit and is sending a good, strong signal.
This is a great day for America, Adventurer. Look, Dr. Von Braun is coming this way. He wants to thank you.
Adventurer, I'm proud to have worked with you. You did a good job. Would you like to be a scientist when you grow up?
Say yes, Adventurer.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. America will be counting on you.
Dr. Von Braun, Washington is calling.
We are in contact with Washington. President Eisenhower wishes to talk personally to you and all the other young people of America.
That's the President of the United States. Tell the President to go ahead.
Thank you very much. As long as we have young people devoted with their hearts to doing these things, America cannot be anything but successful.
Good work, American Adventurer. You've actually been a personal assistant to the famous Dr. Wernher von Braun and have helped America enter the space age.
Later, in the main temple of the huge ruins, hundreds of troops line up. Banners are flying. And at the far end stands a vision in white, Princess Leia. Luke and the others march up the long aisle to stand before the smiling princess. From one side of the temple waddles R2-D2, fully repaired. He stands beside 3PO and a confused Chewbacca. Leia rises and places a gold medallion around Han's neck, then does the same for Luke. They all turn to face the assembled troops, who bow reverently before them. It is a day to be long remembered, a day of hope for peace and justice throughout the galaxy.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
The engines is heard once more. Other worlds are waiting, and we must leave. The rocket ship is one of the greatest scientific devices ever conceived by man. The thunder of its great boosters will be heard throughout the heavens, across the universe, and someday even beyond. The voice of the rocket is the voice of science, the voice of hope, and the voice of our nation. Your voyage to the moon will be recorded forever in the hearts of mankind. It is a feat equal to the greatest, though the greater deeds are yet to come. This, our first journey to the moon, is only the beginning of the beginning of the beginning.
I'm sure you'll get along all right. Man?
Thank you, Flash.
Thank you.